This week we'll be studying the path of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
You know, if you could see some of the things, you'd run back in your house. That's why God doesn't show us the whole path, because we have to trust Him. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight, because anything you can see is not faith, right? The Bible says it's the invisible things that are eternal. You know, it's the invisible things like love and faith. And we, in this Christian journey, cannot go by sight, else we'll get so scared. We'll look at what we have to face and we'll say, how can we do that? And the truth is, we can't. We can't. And that's why He's only going to let us see just the next footstep. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of trust. It's a walk of total dependence upon our Creator. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. I mean, maybe if we could have seen all the things we'd have to face, you know, who knows? Maybe I'd have said, I think I need someone else to pastor the church. Right? But God is so gracious, it's a walk of faith. And we have every morning, we have to tell ourselves, new every morning, right, are His mercies. And if we just are obedient, amen, He will take us upon this journey. He will lead us through, as Psalms 23 says, you know, even the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. Our overarching scripture was taken from, of course, Psalms 23, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's God is the one that does it. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best we can do is still not good enough, because it's not about our outward appearance. It's also the intent of the heart. Amen. So we're going to look at this today, that this walk is a walk of faith. You have to trust God that He's going to be with you even when everything seems against you. Amen. We're going to look at some things. We're going to look at saving faith. And we're going to look at the cross. We're going to look at continuing faith. When believing is seeing. Deliverance faith. And sometimes the faith that you need when you've done all to stand. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday and I said, listen, you know, you can't take certain things all on yourself. You just have to give it to God, because we weren't designed to take it all on ourselves. You have to just do what you can and then give the rest to God. And then there is some suffering faith. Faith when you're under suffering. You know, when you're under suffering, that takes some faith to still be trusting God even when you're suffering. An example of that, of course, is Job. Right? He was suffering. He was sick. His children had died. His money was gone. It really looked like God hated him, didn't it? Doesn't it look at sometimes, it was easy for him to think, you know, why don't I just end it all? Because this could not all happen by chance. God must have given up on me. It would have been so easy to listen to his wife and the voices that were telling him all kinds of negativity. You have to have inside of you an absolute rock bottom trust in God. You know, so that nothing else outside can change and shake that core belief that, number one, God loves you. Number two, God is just. The Bible says, and He will not forget your labor of love. You see, we are going to go through some trials and tribulations. That's just a given. Because, as I've said so many times, we're on whose territory? Enemy territory. And if you're in a war and you're on enemy territory, do you think you're not going to get shot at? Well, I think it's strange, the fiery trials. We're going to get shot at, because as of yet, the angel has not sounded and the trumpet has not rang out and the angel has not declared yet the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Until that happens, we're still on enemy territory. And if we belong to the King of Kings, we're going to get shot at. Amen. So this takes a walk of faith. And despite what we see, we've got to see what we believe. Did you hear what I'm saying? We've got to visualize what we believe, not what our eyes tell us. Amen. That's not denying reality, But that is believing in a higher power. Amen. So let's dig right into this. Hebrews 11, of course, is the whole faith chapter, right? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Sometimes God calls us onto a path that we have no idea where it's going, how it's going to end up, how we're going to get from A to B. But the main thing, again, it comes down, do you trust God? Can you take this step with just God? You know? At first, Abraham couldn't take the step with just God. What did he do? He needed the comfort of all these other people he was trying to bring with him. Right? So he kind of left town, but he brought a whole bunch of stuff with him. And that stuff delayed him. He ended up stopping for 5 years in a place called Haran. He stopped walking on the path. Because he went, but he didn't go fully the way God called him. God had called him out. Sometimes God calls you out of everybody else around you because you have a different path. After the resurrection, Jesus met them on the seashore and he started talking to Peter. And he said to Peter 3 times, do you love me? Peter said, I love you, Lord. He says, feed my lambs. Then, you love me? Feed my sheep. Love me? Feed my sheep. And then he said, listen, I've got some work for you. And Peter was looking at this other disciple. Said, what about him? That's how we are. We want company on our journey. But this is a personal salvation. I say it so many times, we've got to work out our own salvation. We can't work out other people's salvation. It's a personal salvation. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He had never been to this place. He didn't know what it was going to look like. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tents, in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Reason why, he was looking for something that was supernatural. What are we looking for today? Are we looking for the natural, the secular success, the secular blessing, the world's estimation of having a good time? What he was looking for could not be found by human eyes, could not be found by human endeavors. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What a testimony. All his life, he was a rich man. God had blessed him. He could have built castles. But he said, no, this is not where I'm called. Because God had told him what to do. What did God told him to do? Stand still? Walk. Everywhere you walk, that's going to be yours. That's one of the reasons he never put down roots. He walked up and down all of that area because he was claiming it. He was claiming it because God told him, wherever your foot touches, that's yours. That land is going to be yours. And the reason he was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm telling you that this path that we're going on, this faith, it takes a saving faith. A saving faith. Now, what do I mean by a saving faith? Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of coming here today, leaving your nice warm bed, of coming out of a nice warm house, of taking off your day where you could just sleep in bed. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what I'm talking about, a saving faith. Because they're hearing a word, a proclamation. That's what preaching is. And by believing it, it leads unto faith. The Bible says faith cometh by, and hearing by. And how can they preach except they be sent? A lot of preaching going on, but not everyone is sent. That's why the Bible says that there would be a famine for the word of God. How can that be? And there's so many preachers. It's because not everyone is sent. Not everyone is doing it for the right reasons. So the essence of saving faith is believing. In that if you listen to the word of God, the word will lead you. The Bible says that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth. The times when I've made a mistake is because I wasn't listening. You know, many times when you get, you know, you get something that from the store or something, you have to, you open it up, it comes with a booklet. What's that booklet called? Instructions. Now, how many times do we just, okay, put that down, let's open it up. I know Brother Joe and me probably have that experience. Maybe Brother Tony too. We can't be bothered to read this. It's in Chinese anyway. Let's put this down. And we start to try and figure it out. A lot of times after trying to figure it out and laying out the parts, you know what we do? Go back and pick up the book. Okay, what's this screw here for? I put it all together and I got 10 screws left over. That can't be right. You see, God has given us his word for saving faith, for salvation. But we have to be obedient. We actually have to carry out the word that has been given to us. See, many people out there today, as it says in verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. Why should I believe? Show me a sign, Jesus. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. They were looking for some great speech, some great oratory that would wow them. But here's the simple gospel. We just preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. They couldn't see how this Messiah that God had promised them should die. That was too much for their minds to absorb. It became a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, oh, this is foolishness. You're saying this man born in this little way out of nowhere town in Judea is God? That's foolishness. You believe that you're going to get this thing called the Holy Spirit and it's going to make you speak in other language? That's foolishness. That's what this is saying, that saving faith is just very simple. You don't need to understand prophecy. You don't have to understand all this other stuff. You just have to believe, as he told Nicodemus, that if you are born of the water and born of the Spirit, that's how you can become a son of God. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. The majority of the world thinks that coming to church on a Sunday is foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You understand that that's what the revelation of who Jesus Christ, he is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know, in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, there was just the tent. And when you came in through the outer court, there was the brazen altar and then the laver, and then there was the other tent. But when Solomon was building the temple, he added some things. There were some differences between the tabernacle and the temple. One of the things that Solomon added under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit were two pillars at the entrance. And I taught about that some years ago. And he named the pillars Boaz and Yakin. So strange. It wasn't something that was in the tabernacle, that God put these two pillars right by the gates. And you know what they symbolized? On the top of the pillars was this ornate carving of lilies and a chain that went round them. And he named the two pillars Boaz and Yakin. Of course, Boaz, we know, means what? Strength. And the other pillar means wisdom. Do you understand here that it was representation of Christ? The only way into the inner tabernacle was to go between the two pillars of strength and wisdom. And here's what Paul is saying. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is a walk of faith. Above all things, this is a walk of faith. We can't see. And many times the journey has so many twists and turns that we weren't expecting, that we just cannot even understand. You know, it makes no sense. When Abraham came to the valley of the Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot chose the beautiful plains, you know what he was left with? The mountains. The mountains. And it may have occurred to him like, Lord, why did you bring me out of Ur of the Chaldees all this way, and now look where I'm at? This place looks much worse than where I started from. But then the Bible says that the Lord spoke to him and told him, listen, now that you're truly by yourself, now I can deal with you. Up until that point, he still had not fully obeyed God. He had first taken his whole family. Then after that, he took Lot. And it was only until he was completely just Abraham and his family that God spoke to him and started to make a covenant with him. That's when the covenant came into being. Because, as I said, this is a personal salvation. It's a personal salvation, and it is a walk of faith. Galatians 3:22 says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. At its core, you have to have, as I said, two things that you absolutely hold and not let go. One, that God loves you. And two, what did I say the second was? That he's just. Those are the two things that you absolutely have to believe no matter what. Two, that he loves you. One, that he loves you. And two, that he is just. Because around you will look like he is not just. There will be so many things that look unfair on this walk of faith. There will be so many things that look just not fair. That don't look like they can be worked out. That just doesn't look fair. But this is what the key to Job's integrity was. The Bible said he didn't lose his integrity. He didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't shake his fist at God and say, listen, God, I did all this stuff. I worshipped you. I did everything right. And look what has happened. It would have, I said, been so easy for his wife and Satan to tell him, there is no way God is fair. There is no way God is just. Because, as it says here, the Jews require a sign to believe. The Greeks want it to all make sense to believe. Isn't that what it's really saying? For the Jews require a sign. Okay, we're going to believe you, but we want you to snap your fingers and make it all right. The Greeks, on the other hand, said, yeah, but it makes no sense, this thing you're talking about, this baptism, this speaking in tongues, this manifest. None of this makes sense. Because if you could make sense of it, it wouldn't be by faith. This is a walk of faith, saving faith. And the way we walk and the way that justifies us, you know, yesterday I was teaching the Purpose Institute class, and they were studying the book of Revelation. And we were talking about the mark of the beast and the fact that the mark originally, today it's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's called a tav. But originally, guess what it looked like? Cross. You see, it's the cross that makes the whole difference. It's the cross that justifies us on this walk. Because we're not really worthy. No, we're not. We're not worthy. We even just on the outside, we are going to make mistakes. I'm going to maybe say something to someone that hurts their feelings, or I may say something and regret that I said it. We are in this flesh. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. This walk of righteousness is only made perfect by the cross. That's how we are justified. Our road leads to our own cross. Isn't that what he said? Any man that's going to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross. Sister Isha, you've got a cross. Amen. Believe it or not, I have a cross. You know, you may be looking at me, oh, you don't have no problems. But there is a cross for each and every one of us that we have to bear. Amen. See, if Jesus had to go to the cross, you know what that tells me? Me and you have to go to the cross. Didn't the scripture said in the garden, he said, if it be possible, let this cup. You ever prayed that? You ever prayed that garden prayer? If it be possible, Lord, I don't really want to drink this cup. Lord, please take this thing away from me. Please, Lord, I don't want to go through this season. But you know what? Jesus ended his prayer with this. Nevertheless, that's the key. Nevertheless, not my will. See, our path of faith leads through through the cross. Our path of faith is going to mean that we have to pick up a cross. But Jesus led the way. Jesus led the way. You know, in the Old Testament, when they came to the Jordan, and I believe I've taught this before, God told Joshua how they were going to cross the River Jordan. This time, not to use the rod, but to use the Ark of the Covenant, which represented Christ. Everybody else was to stay 2,000, forgot what the measurement was, it wasn't cubits, 2,000 cubits behind. See, we're coming. Jesus went ahead 2,000 years ago. You know, we're almost at that point where it's our turn to cross. See, this path of faith can only be seen spiritually. It's not something that is going to be worked out carnally. Therefore, we conclude in Romans 3:28 that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. It wasn't going through the sacrifices that made you justified alone. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You understand that when we are baptized, we're identifying with his death. What we're saying is that this body that has all the sins is dead. And that's why we should rise to live in newness of life. If we could really grasp that and actually get that in our heart by faith, that this body which has got all the sins is dead, and God is not counting it. He is looking at us as perfect. If we ever believe that, when we prayed, our faith would be so fantastic, so high, so powerful. But when we pray with doubt. Because we're not sure if God really has forgiven us. Or really, because the accuser of the brethren, what does he do? That's right. He says, well, didn't you say so and so last week? Why are you praying now? You see, he's the accuser of the... What we need to tell him is, that body is dead. That body is a dead man walking. Because he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So, why are we bearing our sins? If he's already crucified for our sins, then why are we bearing our sins? We have to believe in faith that he has washed us and that we are clean. That's what he told Peter when Peter says, well, in that case, I need to be baptized again. You know, every now and then people come to me and they say, I want to be baptized again. And I try to tell them, you don't need to do that. All you need is to be consistent in the washing of the word, which is what it means by washing the feet. That's what the Bible says, that the washing of the word. All you need is to do is come to church. In other words, let the word every Sunday, every Tuesday, every day wash you. You don't need to be baptized again because Christ was crucified how many times? Once. In Hebrews it says once at the end of the age, he's going to take that blood. It's not every day that we have to be crucified in that sense. We have to make sure this body stays dead. Amen. So we don't need to be crucified over and over and over again in that sense, but we do need to be washed by the word. And that's why a lot of people get dirty and they come to me and they say, I want to be baptized again. Why? Because they haven't been letting the word every day wash them. Amen. That is the key. We are justified by the cross. We are justified by his death. Through Christ's death on the cross, those who turn to him are delivered from the penalty of sin. And if we could ever just believe that and get that in our heart and actually start to live that in faith believing. So we're talking about this whole month on the path of righteousness. And today we're talking about the path of faith. This walk is totally by faith. Else we would never start it. If we're looking for success and we're waiting till we see it, we would never even start. If we're looking for finances, we would never even start. I'm thinking about when we first started the early years of this church and the struggles we went through. If we could have seen that maybe we wouldn't have started, you know, but we just kept on going. Daily bread. That's what God has promised us. He hasn't promised us a year of daily bread. He said, I will meet your daily needs. I've been telling people who have been going through some things. I said, you know what you got to do? You got to take it one day at a time. Just put one foot in front of you and just keep walking. That's all you can do. We can't plan with any certainty the next 5 years. All we can do is take one step on this path of righteousness and then tomorrow take another step and just keep walking. Because it's in the walking that we are declared righteous. It's in the taking the steps. It's not the destination. As I said, God calls those things that are not as though they be. This path of righteousness is a path of faith, because that's the only way we can get up in the morning, at least for me anyway, and face the things that, as pastor, I need to deal with sometimes. I just have to say, Lord, this is too big for me. I can't handle it, and I'm trying to put my flesh down, because my flesh wants to, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And I can't do it. I have to really give it to Him, who His own self bear our sins in His own body. If we believe that, then what that means is He took our sins. If He took our sins, how many do we have if we are letting the Word wash us? None. Now that's a scary thought. That's a hard thought for most people to accept, that I am perfect in Him. Can you say that? In Him we are perfect. That's a hard thing, you know, because, at least for me anyway, what I look at is all my failures. What I'm hearing from Satan is the time, and he goes back far, you know, he goes back 40 years. And he'll say, yeah, but you remember when you were 18? You remember that path you were on? You don't even have a right to be a pastor. You don't think he talks to me that way? I can't listen to him. I can't listen to him. I got to put that down. I got to put that down. We have to take up our own cross on this path and walk faithfully. Through Christ's death on the cross, if you turn to him, if you turn, no matter where you have been, you know, the greatest example, and I've said it before in Scripture, of God's mercy was Manasseh. Here is a king that went as far as offering his own son to an idol. Here is a king that took God's priests and executed them. Here is a king who set up idols in the temple. But when he repented, now the difference is truly repented, and he wouldn't have done it, you know. He wouldn't have done it if there wasn't a time of being in the pig pen, in the pigsty. That's how God gets our attention. It wasn't until God allowed the Assyrians to come and take him captive and put him in prison for a few months that suddenly he turned to the true and living God. But here's the astonishing thing about Manasseh and this path of righteousness and the path of faith. When he truly repented, God had these Assyrians who, as I've said so many times, were the ISIS of their day, who never released anybody. They released him and put him back as king. And the most amazing thing was he ended up reigning the longest, longer than David, longer than Solomon. That shows God's mercy and his grace. Now, if he can forgive someone like Manasseh, can he forgive you and me? I'm sure none of you have sacrificed your children. You may have felt that way. Amen. Amen. But God's mercy and grace, this is a path of righteousness, and it is a path of faith. So here's what Hebrews said, let us run with endurance. In the book of Hebrews, what this path is likened unto a race, not a sprint, marathon. A marathon. I think a couple weeks ago I told you they were having a marathon run in Madison. And that's 26 and some quarter mile. I don't remember how long it is. And if you started out looking at the 26 mile, if you weren't a professional, you'd say, mm-mm, can't do it. And when I used to run, which is a long time ago, I used to actually run 9 miles a day. Didn't I? That's the only thing besides God saving my life, right? I still have some health benefits from that. But when I started out, I never thought about 9 miles. I thought, okay, I would look on the treadmill or if I was outside on my watch and I would say, okay, first mile, just get through the first mile. Okay, I got through the first mile. Okay, all right, mile two, and then mile three. That I never thought, oh, I've got to run 9 miles, because I probably would not have got up. See, it's a daily walk. It's a daily fight. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. As I said last week, if you fix your eyes on the storm, you're not going to make it, because it's overwhelming. The cares of life, the tribulations, the things that will come to kill our faith, it will just depress you. It will take you down. I have to keep on looking at Jesus and reminding myself of what he's done for me in the past. The times when he came through with such astonishing miracles, when he brought such deliverance that was so, you know, I can't even put it into words. Most of the things God has done for me, I can't even tell you, to be honest. I can't even tell you, because he is a faithful God. He is a merciful God. When we don't deserve it, he will be righteous, he said, to our unrighteousness. Hebrews 12:2. If there is one key to walking on this path of faith, is this scripture. You have to look unto Jesus, and you have to absolutely believe that he loves you. I'm going to say it many times. You have to absolutely believe that he is just, because your life will not look just right now. But there is coming a day when there is going to be a reckoning. In the book of Micah, it said that he gathered the tears and he opened a book of remembrance. Do you know that God is writing a book of remembrance for you? All the things you're going through, all the things you have sacrificed, all the things you have suffered, it's being written down. You know, and God is not going to owe anyone anything. So the only way I get through every day is I have to remind myself God loves me and that he is just. Those are the core things you can never let the devil steal from you. Is that first he loves you and he is just. And he has a plan for you, just as Jeremiah says. That's how you can walk this path of righteousness in faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author. He's the one who wrote your book, who wrote the seeds. In Psalms 139, it says, in my book were all my parts written before I was even born. He's the one that created our soul. In fact, the Bible styles him as the lover of our soul. And the key now to getting through your cross is to look beyond it. That's what Jesus said. Who for the joy that was set before him endured. As I said, you have to endure the cross. But there is a joy after it. There is a joy that comes from knowing that God loves you. There is a joy and a peace from trusting him. There is a joy and a deliverance that you can find in Christ. Even when you're going through some things. And that's what this scripture is telling us. Let us run with endurance. This is not a sprint. There's so many people, they come and they say, I want to get baptized. Because they think that baptism alone is it. And when they get baptized and things don't change immediately, they get discouraged. Because they have not let the seed find good soil. It's only gotten on the surface. And the wind and the birds come and Satan comes and steals it away. You have to have this word so planted in your heart that no matter what Satan says to you, no matter what circumstances of life come, that you are planted so that when the wind blows, your house is built up on the rock. On the rock, not the sand. That's what this is about. Now, The key, as I said, on this path is not looking at the situation. They say many times when you're climbing up a ladder, what they tell you not to do. If you look down, you might start to get vertigo. Your sense of balance may go. You have to keep looking up. Isn't that too what the Bible tells us to do? Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And it's closer than most of us even think. Amen. As I said last week, I'm not planning to pay off my mortgage. Amen. May not even pay off my car.
Amen.
Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand. There is coming a resurrection day for us. Yes, he said, take up your cross. But there is a resurrection with the cross. It's not a permanent cross. There is coming a day of salvation. You may say, oh Lord, when is it? In the scripture in Revelation, the souls under the altar cried, how long? Have you ever prayed that? How long am I going to have to put up with this? How long will this season that I'm going through last? It's a walk of faith. It's a daily challenge. But I will assure you, there was a resurrection. There was a resurrection. There was a third day. Amen. Ephesians 2:8 explains, it's because it's by God's unmerited favor, grace are we saved through faith. Through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift. It's a gift. You know, Jesus said, you haven't chosen me. What does he mean by that? I believe that through circumstance, God has enabled us to come to this knowledge, to hear the word of salvation. Not everyone hears the truth. Not everyone has been given this opportunity to hear the saving message. And so then it's up to us to respond. It's up to us to respond. I have a message in second service. I don't want to preach it yet. I'm tempted to because it fits the situation, but I won't. But it is up to us to respond. He will call, just like he called Samuel. And Eli told him, I didn't call you. Next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. God will call us, but then it's up to us to respond. He will never force us. He will never take away our will. That's not how he works. And that's why we go through so many problems. Because we are in this world with other people. And we can't force them. The only people we have control of, to some extent, is ourselves. I can only regulate my own attitude. I can choose to worship. I can choose to be joyful in crisis. Amen. Now, here's the key. Here's the key to walking on this path of righteousness. Believing is seeing. Seeing is not believing. That's the Christian action. That's the profound word. Seeing is believing. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I've said many times that if you want what you're praying for to come to pass, you need to shut your eyes and see it. See what you're believing for. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, because it's going to be tested. He's going to come and want to test your sonship. If you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of the King, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Now, what's the significant thing about fire? And it's hot. The trial that we're going to go through is hot. It's going to be hot. All I can say, and I many times personally, I look at God and I say, okay, and this is terrible. What I'm about to say is terrible. So I'm going to say, because I'm just confessing. Many times I look at my life and I say, Lord, it's not fair. But I'm not saying it in the way you think. I'm saying, Lord, why have you been so good to me? Because all I can say, he has been. And I don't deserve it. And I get depressed because, for the opposite reason most people get depressed, because I'm blessed and I feel guilty. I feel so guilty, Lord. I can never repay what God has done for me. I could never repay. And that's maybe not a PC thing to say. And then the devil is always coming to me and say, okay, the bad stuff's about to come now. You've had it good so far. You've had it, you know, it's like Job, right? He was blessed for all these years. And the devil's always saying, okay, it's been so good so far, but that's because the bad stuff's been saved up now. All in the days. You see how he knows how to hit the right button to get you to start to be in fear. I have to just rebuke that and still say to myself, I am still blessed and highly favored. I just have to keep saying that because I'm flesh too. See, this is a path that you can only walk by faith. And that God is valuing what we're going through because we're still on enemy territory. We will have to fight. We will go through some fiery trials. We will have to defend what we believe in. But listen to this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm going to say. And it's so hard for us to grasp this because while we're in fire, that's the only thing we can feel. But Scripture has made it abundantly clear that no matter what we have lost, no matter what we have gone through, heaven and what God's plan for us is going to be so much more. One Scripture says it's going to take God an eternity to really show us his love. Do you understand that he created us to be the objects of his love? And what we're seeing now is a corrupted, fallen world due to pride from Satan that came in and interfered temporarily with God's plan for us. Do you understand that we are truly, in every sense of the word, we're called to be and created to be his children? But there is a time and a season. And just as in the first coming, it said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of woman. The second coming is going to be the same. God is waiting for that last person to receive, to get to know the truth. As much as I'd like him to come today, tomorrow, that'd be so selfish. There is still one soul, there is still one person, one child, one deliverance to be done. And the Bible says in Matthew, it says that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, and then shall the end come. See, we're still on this journey. It hasn't ended yet, but one day the Bible says we shall know as we are known. Faith is something that it's easy to lose. It's easy to get off the path through Satan's wiles and tricks and just the pressures of life. And Paul, in writing one of his letters, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There was a point in Paul's life when he was left alone. He started to say, Crescens went to Athens, this one went to there, and here I am by myself. Demas having forsaken me, there's going to be times when all you can see is nobody but you and Christ. That's this path of faith. This is a path of righteousness that you have to walk. In England, there is an elite group of soldiers, just like here you have the SEALs. In England, there's a group, the original Special Forces group called the SAS, the Special Air Services. And to qualify for the Special Air Services, there is a path you have to walk. There is a journey you have to take. There's some wild mountainous country in Wales. And to the first week of joining the Special Air Service to qualify, they take you way out into the middle of nowhere in this rocky, forgotten place in the middle of winter or almost winter. And they leave you there with a map and a 30 or 40 pound rucksack with a tent, and there's a journey you have to take to qualify. Not everybody gets in. In fact, probably only 10%, 1 in 10 of the people who try, make it. I'm reminded of what Hebrews says. He that endureth to the end. There is a path they have to take. They have to go up this mountain. I think it's called Brecon Mountain. And they have to go up this mountain in all kinds of weather with justice. They're not given anything but what they can carry on their back. And it's a 30-mile hike up this mountain all the way. There's a path they have to take. That's the trial that we're going through. You see, God is not going to just have anybody be kings and priests. He's not going to have just any. There is a qualification that we're going to have to go through on this path of righteousness. You know, he pushed Abraham to the very brink. He says, I want you to take your only son that thou lovest. Sometimes God will demand from us the thing that we love. There were some things that I really love that I haven't done in years because I don't have the time, because I have to focus on stuff for the church. I haven't written a song in 15, 20 years. I used to do that all the time. That was my full-time stuff, was music. But I had to put it down. God was saying, listen, do you love this just because of that? Or do you love me? There's going to be on this path a trial to qualify. The proof of that is, once Abraham took the knife and was about to come down, the angel said, stop. You know what the voice then said? Now I know. This is going to be a test. God is going to take us through some paths that require total faith, total trust. The only way Abraham could have done that was he had total trust. It made no sense. This is the son that you promised me. This is the son I waited 25 years for. Now you're telling me to go and kill him? The only way Abraham could have done this is he believed that somehow God would take him through the cross, the death of his son, to guess what? A resurrection. And in fact, that's what Paul says. That's what Paul says, that in fact, he received his son as if from the dead. Do you understand? When you go through the cross, there will be a resurrection. And God will say, now I know. Now I know. Now I know. Because of your sacrifice, because you've been qualified, Abraham, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Just because of one man's obedience, in this case, Abraham, God was able 2,000 years later to provide himself the sacrifice, to provide himself the ram caught in the thicket. Whom having not seen, this is the key. You haven't seen God. I haven't, I can, you know, some people have seen a vision of Christ. My dad saw vision of Christ like 5 times and he would describe it. It was so awesome. I can't say that. What I have received is a voice, but I haven't seen. Whom having not seen, he loved. Do you love him today? Can you say from your heart, I love him, that I love Christ, that I'm willing, that there's nothing going to be standing between me, that I am willing to give up everything to walk this path of righteousness. Whom having not seen, he loved, in whom, though now he see him not, yet believe. This was Jesus' message to his disciple when Thomas said, listen, I'm not believing this story about him getting up from the dead. I saw the Roman soldier take him with a spear and push it through his side. He is dead. You guys are crazy. Something that never happened. But when he saw Jesus, Jesus said, see my side, see my hand. And what did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. The revelation of who Jesus really was. He said, my Lord and my God. Jesus then went on to say, Thomas, you believe because you see. But more blessed are those who will believe having not seen. To that is what God finds pleasing. Whom having not seen he love, in whom having though he see him not, yet believing. The astonishing thing, as I said, was that Jesus had disciples before he did even the first miracle. They weren't following him just because he had done a miracle, because we know that from John 3. When he went to Cana of Galilee to the wedding, the Bible says Jesus went and his disciples. Scripture said he had not done a miracle yet. What had they believed? They believed when John the Baptist pointed at him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Just the word they believed, and they, some of them started following him. They had not seen him do a miracle. See? And that's what we're going to have to understand on this path of righteousness. It's a path of faith. God may not always do a miracle for you, but you still have to have that rock bottom core that, first of all, God loves you and that he is just. And he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently follow him. In fact, really, that's what the scripture says, that those that come to God by faith must believe that he is, meaning that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently follow. In other words, that he is a God of justice. Even though it may take time, Bible says, wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, those that wait upon the Lord, those that wait. See, I'm very impatient and impulsive. Terrible character flaw. And that's why God makes me wait, because he's trying to cure me of that. But I have learned a little bit more patience, because it's those that wait upon the Lord. He shall renew your strength. Amen. Hallelujah. So believing is seeing. Hebrews 11:1. Of course, this is the faith scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is based in hope. Do you have hope? If you have hope, that's the basis to build your faith. I hope, and then I have faith. It's very hard to have faith if you have no hope. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Just having faith. Through faith, we understand that the world, the whole universe, were framed by the very word of God. When he said, "Let there be." And that's the most powerful three words that God can speak. When he says, "Let there be," there is only one answer. And it was so. If we would allow God to speak into our lives instead of fighting him and telling him how we want it to go, if we would allow him to speak and trust that he truly loves us despite all that's going on around us. And there's a lot going on around us, right? There's always some crisis. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, here's the result of faith. If you have faith, what's the next step that you'll have? If you trust somebody, then you will have, and I preached it, peace. It's when you don't trust, you have fear, because you're worried. But if you have faith, true faith will then give you peace. Okay, you know, if you have someone that you trust, oh, they've got it. I don't have to worry about that, right? They know what they're doing. And you can have peace. I don't have to question them. I don't have to ask. So true faith is manifested in our peace. And I preach that. It's a radical peace. It's a peace that makes no sense when everything is going wrong, but it is a proof of evidence of faith. That's what we need on this path. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. You get it? Therefore, being justified by faith, that means believing God loves us, believing that he is just, and that we have done what's pleasing in his sight by confessing our sins, then we are at peace. Because his word says he's got the rest of this. So the choice is either you believe it or you don't. It's not, your belief cannot be based on your circumstances. Your faith has got to be built upon his word and the word that you hear. It says it is through this peace that we have access by faith into grace. Because unless you believe, you don't have access into God's grace. Because he that cometh to God must. And if we don't believe, we're not going to be at peace. And we're not actually going to receive his grace. Even though he's given it, we're saying, no, I'm too bad. I've gone too far. And that's how people stay away from church. They believe that they won't receive the grace because they lack faith. They don't trust that God's word is true, that he has forgiven them, that if they come and repent, the Bible says that if the elders of the church lay hands, they shall be forgiven. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by the same faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. I tell you what, if today, I've said it every week, if today we really believe God was pleased with us, despite the circumstances, as long as Jesus was awakening in the boat, the disciples weren't worried. It's when they thought he was asleep and he didn't care. Don't you care? Can't you see what's happening to us? Isn't that our cry all the time? Lord, can't you see what's happening? Why don't you do something? But remember, it's a trial of our faith. There is no way that he was going to actually let them sink. He was in the boat. It was impossible. But they were panicked. Now, let's read on. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so. Now, this is the really hard part. I don't know if I've got to this part yet. But we glory in tribulations. Ooh. I'm really at this stage, Lord, let this cup pass. I'm working towards, but nevertheless. But Paul was saying here, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And remember what I said hope was the foundation for? Faith. See, once you've been through some things and you come across them again, you're not quite as worried because you've seen that you can get through that. That's what it does. It gives you hope. And patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because God loves us. Remember I said the core thing we have to hold on to? That God loves us, even though we can't see it? Because believing is seeing, not seeing. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'm almost finished here. So this path of righteousness and walking by faith is nothing more than walking in the Word. When the Bible says we have to be led by the Spirit, it's really being led by the Word. I've said that so many times. The times when I'm strongest is when I've been nothing but meditating on Scripture and receiving some revelation. That's when I've been the happiest, when I have a breakthrough and I feel that God has just spoken to me. I'm going, wow, that's awesome. And I feel at that point I could take on the devil and all his hosts. I feel strength. And that's what we got to do. We got to walk in the Word. Don't let a day go by without meditating on God's love and some scripture. Because that is what feeds our soul. Food feeds our natural man, but God's word feeds our soul. Isn't that what it said in Luke? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by... And that's why some people are spiritually starving, because they don't come to church and they don't meditate upon God's word. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh. This is also something that we really have to take, because a lot of times we personalize it to the person who's annoying us, or the person who has taken away our peace, or the person who really, it's the spirit and the forces that manipulated them who have done it. And we have to be careful not to be bitter against that person, but we have to really take, okay, devil, I see this. I see where you're going with this. Jesus turned to Peter and said, Satan, get thee behind me. You know who Satan will use? People. And he'll use people close to you. He'll use people who can hurt you. Because people who can't hurt you is no use to him. Because you're not affected. So that's how he works. So therefore we have to be armored up and be able to be watchful and see the plan that he has to destroy us. I'm going to hurry here. taken above all the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench the fiery dust. You know where Satan wants to attack most? He'll attack anywhere you're not armored. But he really wants to attack this. So what does the scripture say we have to wear? Helmet of salvation. You know what that comes down to again? It's that core thing. God loves me. There's nothing you can say, Satan. There's nothing you can say, no matter what I'm going through, that's going to make me believe that my father doesn't love me. It's just like my normal parents. There wouldn't be anything you could say to me that would convince me that they don't love. Why? Because I have experienced that over many years. Once you had a true, deep relationship with God, there is nothing Satan can do that would convince you. You will always be able to justify the circumstance that, okay, I know that wasn't them. Maybe it was my choice. Maybe it was other things. But I know my parents loved me. And that's what's the core here. That you have to have this helmet of salvation. And that helmet of salvation is that God loves us. That he gave his life for us. That really is encapsulated in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Then the other little trick, Satan will come. He says, yeah, but there's 7 billion people. He can't really love you. He's got 7,000 million other souls to love. You think he really loves just you? Well, John the Apostle thought so, right? Isn't that what he wrote in his book? The disciple whom Jesus loved? He thought Jesus' love was personal for him. And he was so convinced of it, he had all the other disciples believe in it. They said, hey, you ask him. He must have gone around and said, you know, Jesus loves me. He must have been singing that song. The little kids sing, Jesus loves me. This I know. When you know that, you have power with God. If you could stand with me, we haven't finished this. Our path may be blocked by all kinds of things. There's all kinds of obstacles the devil will throw in there to block your path. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So God has given us some tools to clear the path. He's given us some tools to clear the path. I'm going to skip to the end here. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. As I've said so many times, it's not a searchlight. You can't see all the way down the path. It's just the next step. Just the next step. Sometimes the path of faith can seem lonely. Here's the scripture I quoted. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. There will come a time on this path where you, like Paul here, are left alone. Here's Jesus. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that he shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. But, here's the key, yet I am not alone. Why? Because of that core, the Father. The Father, the Father. These things have I spoken to you, that you can still have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. I had a couple more slides, but I'm going to stop there. Next week, we'll continue on this path of righteousness. I hope that some of these words have encouraged you. That even though this is a walk of faith, we're not alone. God is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace, your love. Hallelujah. Oh God, and your peace that it passes human understanding. Help us today, oh God, to continue on this walk of faith, the path of righteousness that you have laid out that will lead us by still waters, oh God, that will restore our souls. Lord, we just thank you. We bless your name. Lord, we are asking you to just give us an anointing in our second service. Let your word go forth with power. Let our praise reach your throne room. We thank you for your blessing and your goodness. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.